Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Abraham.
We are pleased to co-create with you upon this rather important topic of dollars and abundance. The subject of dollars, for those of you who are focused here in your physical experience and in your specific culture or society, is synonymous with the subject of freedom in many cases. We are happy to unravel some of the confusion about this topic, and we are, as you are, aware of the extreme importance that it plays in the lives of so many. As we are working with our physical friends in this time and place, we are hearing from many of them dissatisfaction about their current place of standing relative to this subject of dollars. It seems that almost all are in a place of having fewer dollars than they are wanting, and therefore are in a place of experiencing less freedom than they really are wanting. And so it is our intent, as we are offering the words here, to help those who are wanting a clearer, more open avenue for the flowing of dollars into their experience to discover it. For it really is not a difficult thing. Everyone is living exactly the balance of thought that they are offering. And so it is really this simple. If there are fewer dollars in your experience than you are wanting, or in clearer terms, we would say, if you are experiencing more the lack of dollars than you are the abundance of dollars, then that is a signal to you that the balance of your thought regarding the subject of dollars is slanted toward the lack more than toward the having. We'll begin by saying that every subject is really not just one subject, but two. Someone said to us recently regarding the topic of dollars, Abraham, there must be something that you are leaving out of this recipe, because you say that I can have anything that I am wanting, and that if I will just focus upon what I want, then it will be mine. And I have wanted dollars for as long as I can remember, and they keep not coming to me. And we say, friend, it is not one subject, but two. There is the subject of dollars and the subject of lack of dollars. And what you have been offering your thought toward is the subject of the lack of dollars. When you move through your day, what is the balance of thought that you are offering? What is the most common thought that you offer regarding this subject of dollars? How often do you say, oh, that is a very beautiful thing, but I cannot afford it? Or, oh, I would very much like to do that, or be there, or have that, but I cannot afford it. What is the offering of thought in your experience regarding the subject of dollars? There are two ways for you to acknowledge that. One is, pay attention to what you're thinking and speaking and to the way that you're feeling about it. If you're feeling negative emotion as you think or speak or act, then you are upon the negative side or the lack side of something you want. And the other way of knowing what the balance of your thought is regarding the subject of dollars is by looking at your life experience. If you have all of the dollars that you're wanting, then the balance of your thought regarding dollars is in harmony with that. And if you have not enough dollars, if you are feeling lack about dollars, then the balance of your thought is upon that side of the equation.
Well, my experience, one of my experiences on this subject is, I had a motel down near El Paso, Texas, a while back, and H.L. Hunt, who at that time was considered the fifth wealthiest man in the United States, one of the multi-billionaires, called me because he had heard that I had some information on Ojo Caliente, a small resort, Indian Hot Springs, on the Rio Grande River that he had purchased, and he was trying to convert it into something that made money, which it wasn't doing at the time. And I recall as he came to me, and he's sitting in my little coffee shop, and we're visiting, and my mind was racing. I couldn't imagine why a man so wealthy would still be after more dollars. I mean, I couldn't understand why he wouldn't just sell the place at whatever and go on about his life. I have another friend of mine who's in the billionaire class. We were in Rio de Janeiro a while back, in Brazil, and we were going to the beach, and he talked about he had some trouble, so on and so forth. And it really struck me that a man that wealthy, so wealthy, would have any kind of troubles. But what I'm learning, and what I've learned a lot from you, that the goal in success, the goal in life, is not having things, right?
What all of the things, all of the having, all of the doing is about is to enhance your state of being. As you identify that state of being is the goal, in other words, it is the state of joy that is the true trophy. It is the state of joy that is the acknowledgement of your harmony with who you really are. Then, very often, the other trappings do not seem so important. Now, we are not wanting to distort your physical experience here. In other words, we are not implying that the having or the doing is not a key and an essential part to the physical experience.
Correct.
You are here in a physical dimension intending to chew upon the data of this time and place. And because of the very nature of your physicalness, having and doing is an integral part of all of that. And it is all here for the enhancement of your state of being. But if you are going about in a backwards fashion, in other words, if you are evaluating first what to do and what to have, then very often you gather activity and things into your experience that do not enhance your state of being. Where if you will begin by identifying how it is you want to feel or be, and then let your inspiration to accumulate or to have or to do come from that centered place of beingness, then you do not get so far out of balance. We have noted that most of you do most of your wanting from a place of lack. You want things, in many cases, simply because you don't have them. And so the having of them doesn't really satisfy anything deep within you, because there is always something else that you don't have. And so it becomes a never-ending struggle to try to bring one more thing that still won't be satisfying, into your experience. Esther had a dream not long ago that is very clarifying upon this mm-hmm. topic. She was walking down a street, a rather drab, unimpressive-looking street, when she saw that there was a door open with a sign that said, "For Sale." And as Esther is always willing to look for whatever, at whatever is for sale, she talked you, her mate, into going inside to look with her. And as she walked, as you, the two of you, walked into this magnificent room, she was delighted as she looked upward and saw very high, curved, painted, gilded ceilings, and very beautiful archways that were carved and painted, and floors that were inlaid with wood and stone and gems. The magnificence of it was beyond description, and Esther stood there amazed at this beautiful sight and said to you, "I want this." And you agreed, and so you purchased it. And now Esther moves very fast forward in her dream, and now you are gathering your things from all of the places here and there, taking them all to this house, when suddenly Esther realized, "But wait, this house is not in the city where I want to live. Further, it is in a city where I don't want to live." In fact, she noticed, everything about the purchase of this house is wrong, except that the house is beautiful. Now, what that dream represents is the way most of you go about your wanting and your creating from lack. In other words, Esther remembered noticing how mundane and drab the street was on, that she was on. In other words, it was not beautiful, and she was even feeling critical about it. And from that place of lack, she was inspired into the room where she was bowled over by the beauty. In other words, the magnificence, the opulence, the value that she believed that would be hers as others observed the beauty of that which she had gathered. And so not from her position of clearly identifying how she wanted to feel, but from her place of lack, she made the decision that she wanted that. And while it did satisfy the void, in other words, the feeling of not enough beauty in her experience was satisfied by this beautiful place, almost everything else about it was out of harmony. Our point is that so many of you, so much of the time, take action in terms of having or even in terms of wanting in order to soothe some lack or some void. Because I don't have this, I want it. And you really think that by getting it, that it will soothe the void. And it is our absolute knowing that that defies law, because any action that is taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive and always leads to more feeling of void. And that is why so many keep wanting and keep being unsatisfied and keep wanting and keep being unsatisfied. And so certainly the answer is not to try to accumulate everything in order to fill the void, but to find your centered place of beingness first. And then you will be inspired to action, not from a place of void, but from a place of joyous beingness, you see. Certainly, you will gather many magnificent things into your experience. Our message is not to stop wanting, or not to stop having, or not to stop doing. Our message is to do your having, your accumulating, your wanting, your doing, from your place of feeling good, you see.
Well, there's the saying that money doesn't make for happiness. But on the other hand, I've noted that poverty doesn't make for happiness either. So it's not, money isn't, obviously isn't the answer. How does a person, and then, well, I guess what we've learned from you as far as setting goals are concerned, is as long as what it is that we're wanting is pleasing us, as long in the field, the thought of it is wanting, that the thought of wanting it is bringing us pleasure, then it is would be an appropriate goal for us.
Correct.
Okay. So how does a person then set a goal out, something that they want, or have something they want that takes time or energy to reach, and then go through, here's what I see, there's that, and then there's kind of the uphill climb to get to that, and then there's a short plateau that they kind of rest, and then a person sets another goal, but then there's another almost tedious climb to the next goal. How does a person keep all the climbing joyous so that it's not struggle, 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 wow, I've made it, and then struggle, 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 oh, here I am again.
Oh, that sort of wow, I've made it is very mundane by comparison with what could happen, because struggle, struggle, struggle never leads to a happy ending, not by the standards of happiness that you know from your inner perspective. But what you are talking about in terms of feeling the climb toward an ending place and then that little plateau of satisfaction and then another climb to another ending place comes because you are so ending place oriented. Most of you are looking towards some ending place and you say, when I get there, then I will be happy, rather than enjoying the delicious unfolding or the delicious becoming. You see, you are here as creators, not as accumulators and not as regurgitators. You are here as creators. And so as you are looking at an ending place, the tendency in looking at the ending place is to exaggerate the feeling of lack between where you are now and that ending place. And that slows down your creation more than any other thing. If instead of looking toward the ending place, you could understand that law of attraction is just what we are, what it is well named. You are the attractor of your experience. And so as you are focused upon the value of what is, that point of attraction is becoming more. There is no law of assertion. You cannot identify something you want and go and get it. Instead, you identify something that you want, you change your vibration so that you can attract it into your experience, you see. The sculptor of the magnificent work of art does not derive his greatest satisfaction from the finished product. It is the sculpting. It is the joyous becoming that is delicious to him. And that is the way we would like you to see your physical experience of creating. It is the eternal, joyful becoming that we are all about, you see. And so, as you put your emphasis upon the state of being and you focus upon the things that are in your life right now that are satisfying to you, then from that satisfied, joyful, centered place, you then are in a position, and only then are in a position, to attract more of what you are wanting. We have been offering a process to those who say, Abraham, I want more money in my experience. And we say, what is the balance of your thought regarding money? And very often they will say, well, I have a very positive attitude about it. And we will say, well, when you sit to pay your bills, how do you feel? And very often that is when they realize that they are still feeling very much struggle and very much frustration about money. And so once we are able to help them understand that the balance of their thought regarding dollars has been more on the lack side of the subject than upon the abundant side of the subject, then we say, put $100 in your pocket. And notice in every day how many things you could exchange this $100 for, how many things you could have or do in exchange for these dollars. Some have teased us and said, Abraham, you haven't been physical recently because $100 will not go far. But we say, what you are wanting to do is to alter your feeling about money. You are wanting to change the balance of thought within you which will alter your feeling about money. You have been feeling not prosperous. And in your feeling of not being prosperous, you are attracting more of the lack of prosperity. And so this $100, if you will utilize it effectively, will cause you to deliberately change your balance of thought regarding the subject of dollars. Instead of moving through your day noticing how expensive everything is, which adds to the lack side, you will move through your day saying, I can have that, I can have that, I can have that. And if you 1,000 times today notice how many things that you could have with that $100, you have emotionally spent the equivalent of $100,000. And that will go a long way toward tipping the balance of prosperity within you, you see. It is a very good process and extremely effective. Someone said to us, Abraham, I don't have the $100, but I put an IOU in my pocket. And we said, that is defeating the process because you are walking around with another debt in your pocket, mm-hmm. which is exactly the opposite of what you are wanting to do. You are wanting to feel your prosperity. And so even if it is only $1 or $10 or $20 or $50, or if it is $1,000 or $10,000 that you have in your pocket, utilize it effectively to help you notice how good things are now. Because it is in your acknowledgement of your blissful now that it becomes more. You see?
Abraham, my experience when I, in my business, as I worked with people, my intention was to help the people that needed money the most. And I could set them up in business and I could help them succeed. And I knew that I could. But it turned out that the ones who needed it the most had the least success with it. And the ones who needed the business and needed the dollars the least had the most success with it.
The reason for that is because anyone who is in place of lack, no matter how much action they offer, attracts more lack. In mm-hmm. other words, the powerful feeling outweighing any action that they offer. Any action that's taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive. While those who were not needing were not in a place of lack, and so their action was offered not from a place of lack, and their action was productive. Your experience is in absolute harmony with the laws of the universe, as is every experience.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a shred of evidence anywhere in the universe that is to the contrary of this that we are speaking.
Mm-hmm. Also, what I noticed were, by and large, those who didn't have much success or weren't really interested much in hearing about succeeding were people who had been taught that wanting money was evil, that wanting money was immoral, and that the thing to do was just kind of stay where they were.
That is a very broad topic.
I know
for
it is.
There are not two beings who really feel exactly the same way about anything.
That's true.
The reason that many reach a place where they say that they do not want is because they have wanted, and they have wanted, and they have wanted, but they have not understood that every subject is two subjects, and so they have given more of their attention to the lack of what they want than to what they want, and so they keep attracting the lack until eventually they are just worn down by it. they begin to associate wanting with not having, so much so that to want is an unpleasant experience. And so then they say, I no longer want, because every time I want something, I get myself in this place of discomfort. And so it is easier not to want in the first place.
And so a person who an outsider might look at and say is in a state of poverty, if they don't feel they're in a state of poverty, they're not in a state of lack, are they? So in other words, they could move forward fast in life if they're not feeling that sense of
that
lack.
That is very correct. The issue of money being right or wrong, or
right,
moral or immoral, is a more complicated issue to unravel. Most physical beings are so predominantly feeling their own lack of worthiness that they do not understand that they have a guidance system within them. And so most are looking outside of themselves for some form of guidance. And that leads to a myriad of ways that they interact with others. There are those who seek to control them. There are those who are also confused and in their confusion try to lead them. In other words, we could speak for hundreds of hours upon why man is confused in his guidance upon many topics. It is very difficult for most of you to hear us when we say nothing is more important than that you feel good. For when you feel good, you're in harmony with your greater intent. And so, because most of you are not ready to hear it, and because most of you have come from a place of lack for such a very long time, you more easily accept the influence that says you must work hard, you must struggle, you must strive in order to receive your reward. So many of you have been convinced that you are here to prove yourselves worthy of something. And so from that place of lack, you set out to prove yourselves worthy. And you do not prove yourselves worthy from place of lack. The reality of it is you are already worthy. The reality of it is you have come forth into this experience to thrive and prosper and live this delicious physical experience. But we cannot convince you with our words alone. And it is really not our wanting or our role to convince any of you of anything.
Right.
What we are wanting to do is to assist you individually, if you are wanting, to reconnect consciously with your own inner guidance system. And if you will make statements such as, I want to be the best that I can be. I want to do and have and live in a way that is in harmony with my idea of the greatest goodness. I want to harmonize physically here in this body with that which I believe to be the best or the good way of life. If you will make those statements, and then you will not take action unless you feel good, you will always be moving upon the path and in harmony with your idea of that which is good. The belief in lack is so powerful. And that is what is behind this confusion that you are speaking about. In other words, when you believe that there isn't enough to go around, then you believe those who are achieving are squandering or hoarding and keeping from the rest. When you believe in a universe of lack, then you are guarded and defensive. And then you point fingers of blame to those who are achieving and accomplishing and those who are accumulating. And what we are wanting you to understand is that what anyone else has or does not have has nothing to do with you. The only thing that affects your experience is the way you utilize the non-physical energy with your thought. Your abundance or lack of it in your experience has nothing to do with what anybody else is doing or having. It has only to do with your perspective. It has only to do with your offering of thought. We have noticed that there are many who speak out with great criticism toward those who accumulate. And their speaking is, for the most part, only a representation of their own feeling of lack and worthlessness. They really think that they would feel better about their own lack if the others did not have so much. In other words, if they could diminish the value of having, then their lack would not bother them so much, you see. But it is our knowing that then there will just be something else for them to feel lack about, and something else, and something else, and something else. Then money will not be the issue, but length of life will be the issue, or any number of subjects.
When I was a kid, I associated with poor people primarily, and we used to make fun of those who were wealthy and criticize them and so on, and those who drove Cadillacs, for instance. And so as an adult, when it came time that I would like to have had a Cadillac car to drive one, I couldn't bring myself to it because I felt that people would make fun of me as I had made fun. So I drove Mercedes because years ago people kind of thought they were economy cars. So the only way I could bring myself to drive a Cadillac, which I finally did, was I had to bridge my thoughts by saying, well, by buying this car, I put all those people to work that put this car together. You know, all the people that supplied the parts and the materials, the leather and the metal and the glass and the craftsmen and so on and so forth. In that justification, then I was able to buy the car and thinking, well, I'm putting people to work. But you have a way of teaching us to get our minds in that a state that we can accept and allow everything into ourselves without having to do that that processing of bridging that I had to use through the years to move forward.
Your process of bridging is an effective process, but at the heart of it is something that concerns us a bit, and that is, as you are worrying about what others think about what you are doing, you are always going to be in a negative place, because there is always going to be someone somewhere who does not approve of what you are doing. And if you allow yourself to be buffeted around, even by mainstream thought, you will find yourself in a quandary much of the time as to what is your appropriate action. There will always be someone, no matter which side you choose, that does not harmonize. And that is why we speak so firmly and want so much for you to understand that if you would come to know that your greatest endeavor is to find harmony with who you really are, and if you would trust in yourselves, in other words, if you could believe that through all that you have lived, you have come to a place of very strong knowing, and that you can trust the way you feel as your form of guidance about the appropriateness or inappropriateness of what you are contemplating doing, then you could utilize your guidance system in the way that it was really intended.
Abraham, in the past, money was primarily coins, metal, that had a value in themselves, like a $20 gold piece, so to speak, the gold itself was worth $20, and the silver dollar was worth, the silver was worth money. And we've come beyond that now to where our money itself has no value. I mean, it's essentially valueless. And so as a result, from what I used to think of in terms of we trade our talent for dollars, it was a convenient way of being able to deal with a wide variety of talents and continue to flow with one another. It was just a convenience. Now dollars are a different sort of thing. And so...
How so?
Well, the dollar itself is the value of it is changed by somebody in another area.
In other words, it doesn't hold that, but it does not affect your personal experience.
Right, that's what I wanted to talk about. And so I've watched, and I've been there too, of where I always thought of how much I was worth, what was my value, what should I ask for the time that I'm going to give now, or the talent that I'm going to put forth. But yet, then learning from you, it's another thing altogether, and that we don't have to consider our value or our worth or how much work or how much we're doing. We only have to consider what we're wanting and allow that. Now, will you clarify that so that everyone or most will be comfortable with that?
What is your concern about the manipulation of the dollar?
Well, if a person's looking in terms of dollars, then you're worried or concerned about what someone else does with the dollars. Is there going to be inflation? Is it going to be deflation? Because it's typically a handful of people that control or manipulate the value of the paper that's called the dollar today. And so I'd like for everyone to be comfortable with just what you're teaching us, that we can have anything we want and not be concerned about what happens to the dollar.
You've hit upon something very essential here regarding the subject of dollars, because you are right. Many of you are recognizing that dollars today just aren't worth what they were at one time. And that is another position of lack that you very often firmly stand upon that keeps you from attracting the abundance that is yours. We would like you to understand that the dollar, and its assigned value is really not as important to your experience as you are believing. Right. And that if you could put your attention upon what you are wanting in terms of being and then having and then doing, that all of the dollars or other means for bringing about what you are wanting could then flow easily and much more effortlessly mm-hmm. into your experience. We keep coming back to the same terminology, and that is, from your place of lack, you cannot attract its opposite. And so it really is a matter of adjusting your thinking so that your thinking harmonizes with that which feels good within you. Now, what every thought that you think vibrates, and it is by virtue of that vibrating thought that you attract. When you think a thought of lack,
mm-hmm.
that thought is vibrating at a place that is so alien to that which your inner being knows to be, that your inner being cannot resonate with you at all, and the resultant feeling within you is one of negative emotion. When you think a thought of upliftment or abundance or well-being, those thoughts harmonize with that which your inner being knows to be. And under those conditions, you are filled with a feeling of positive emotion or energy. And so you may trust the way that you feel
mm-hmm.
as the indicator as to which side of this subject that is really two subjects that you are upon. Whether it is the subject of dollars or lack of it, or health or lack of it, or relationship or lack of it, always when you feel good, you are in the place of attracting that which you are wanting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to watch people having financial problems, and I used to worry about them. But then I watched as they would spiral down, down, down from whatever heights. They would finally come crashing down to in bankruptcy, but then the next thing I knew, they had another new boat, and they'd have a new luxury car and another beautiful home. In other words, no one seemed to stay down. But why is it, Abraham, that they couldn't stop it way up higher? Why does it have to go all the way down for so many of them before they could start back up again?
The reason that they were continuing the spiral downward mm-hmm. is because of their intention to lack. In other words, they were so worried about what they would lose. They were standing in their place of guardedness or defensiveness, very often in a place of blame or justifying or rationalizing. And every time you are justifying or rationalizing or blaming, you're on the wrong side of the equation. In other words, that focus upon lack, as they were so concerned about what would happen, all of the negative what-ifs that they were playing out, they were in a position where they were very powerfully attracting all of that. But once it had happened, and they had lost everything, now they are not in a place of guardedness. Now it has happened. They have nothing more to lose, you see. And so in the moment that they release that feeling of guardedness, then by the natural laws of the universe, they are able to receive into their experience what they are wanting. You see, many of you, if you could see your experience as we do, from a sort of aerial view,
mm-hmm.
you would see that you have, by virtue of your wanting or desire, aligned many wonderful things and drawn them very near to you. But they cannot get in. It is as if you have drawn them right outside your door, but your door is closed.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, or the reason that the door is closed is because of your concern, because of your worry, because of your resentfulness, because of your jealousy. Anything that you think that brings forth a negative feeling mm-hmm. within you is part of the reason that that door remains closed. And in the moment that you release all of that, then the door opens and what you want can come in. The word surrender is offered. In other words, if you could just relax and surrender into your well-being rather than resist what you do not want, things would go better for you. Someone said to us recently, "Abraham, I have heard the expression, let go and let God." And at one time that resonated well with me, but now I am listening to you talk about being deliberate creator, and somehow it seems to me that I am the one that should be making these decisions. I shouldn't just lay around and wait for God to do it in my experience. And we say, you are right. You are the decider. You have come forth to be creator of your mm-hmm. experience. But there is tremendous value in, once you have identified that which you want, then to relax into the allowing of letting it be. Because you are very action-oriented beings, most of you really believe that you must do something. And because you are part of society which is more focused upon lack than upon what it wants, you find yourselves really believing, we have noticed it of almost all of you, you really believe that in order to get something that you want, that you must defeat what you don't want. That is why you have a war on poverty and a war on drugs and a war against AIDS, a war. You really believe that by struggling against what you don't want, you will have what you do want. And we say, it defies law. And so when you relax into well-being, when you make statements such as, I seek abundance, and I trust the laws of the universe, and I've identified these things that I want, and I'm going to relax and allow them into my experience, rather than I'm going to struggle against, more of it will be coming. Every time you feel negative emotion regarding the subject of dollars, you are pushing dollars away. It is simple as that. And so when you see others exceeding or excelling in dollars, mm-hmm. and you feel negative emotion about it, that is a signal to you that the thought that you are thinking about them is not allowing them into your experience. When you find yourself critical of the way or means that anyone has attracted dollars, you are pushing them away. But when you find yourself realizing that what others do with dollars or with the abundance of the earth has nothing to do with you, and you realize that your primary work is to think thoughts and speak words and do action that harmonizes with what feels good, then you will be in harmony not only about the subject of money, but you will be in harmony about every important subject in your physical experience.
My final question to you is, what bearing does talent or skill or ability have on bringing abundance or bringing dollars into our life?
Very little. Because those are all action aspects for the most part. And your action is responsible but for a minuscule part of what comes to you. By far and away, it is your thought and word, which is thought articulated, that is responsible.
So then would you say definitely that a person with no saleable skill or talent could still have all the dollars they want in their life?
Absolutely. Unless he is acknowledging that he has no saleable skill or talent,
right.
And therefore is defeating his own desire by his negative expectation. It is not what you do that makes a difference, it is the way you feel. Now, sometimes your doing alters the way you feel, but what is more important than anything and the attraction of anything is what you are feeling. Because what you are feeling is absolutely an indicator of the balance of thought within you. And the balance of thought within you is what is responsible for your attraction.
But, so how does a person in that particular condition get past the thought or belief that they must give a dollar's worth of something to get a dollar's worth of something?
The only way that we know that you would come to that understanding is by hearing our words, recognizing that there is value in the way you are feeling, and trying it the other way a little bit. In other words, most of you have been struggling very hard. You've been trying it your way all of the days of your life. And you are the one and the only one that can evaluate your effectiveness. In other words, only you know where you stand relative to where you are wanting to be. No one else has the ability to discern where you stand relative to where you are wanting to be. Nobody else can decide where you should be. Only you.
Those who I see that kind of believe or would like to have something like that come to them that they don't feel like they've, through their skill or talent, have earned, usually look at something like some giant lottery or a gambling kind of situation where by chance they'll get theirs as a result of someone else losing theirs.
If their expectation is in a place that will allow it, then that very well could be the way. But most are too smart for that. They know the odds of that. Their expectation for winning the lottery is not in a powerful place either, you see.
I know we only have a couple of more minutes at most on this recording, but can you help me just a little bit over that last hump for me? Is how does a person then get to where they can accept that it can come from some way that they can't picture it coming from?
We are having a very good laugh here as we are realizing that you are asking questions that need 10 hours of answering rather than 1 minute.
Yeah.
The key is look for reasons to feel good. Identify what you want and hold your thoughts in a place that feels good. When you're beating up on yourself and saying, I can't, your inner being does not agree. And when your inner being does not agree, you feel negative emotion. And when you feel negative emotion, you are in the place of attracting the lack of what you want. When you feel positive emotion, you are in the place of attracting what you are wanting. And so guide your thoughts, guide your words into a place that feels good, and then you will be in a place of attracting that which you are wanting. It is really as simple as that. We have enjoyed very much this interaction.
Thank you.
We are knowing that the universe is abundant, but we cannot help you know it. It is through your experience that you come to know it. We say to you, trust. And the only way that you can trust is by giving it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the only way that you can really allow into your experience is by altering some of your thought. And some of your beliefs are very strong. We would say, focus more upon what you want. If you really, really, really want something, your thought of desire will outweigh your thought of negative expectation.
Good.
Do not let go of what you want. Keep wanting, and the avenues, the circumstances, and the events will unfold before you. You will say it is as if it is magical.
Right.
And we will say it is not by magic, it is by the power of the laws of the universe. Offer the thought, and as you offer the thought, you vibrate, and as you vibrate, you attract.
Mm-hmm.
There is great love here for you.
Bet.
We are complete.
Thank you.
And are you refreshed?
Yes.
Good. And now what is it you're wanting to talk about?
Well, this one's headlined dollars, which again gets the attention. But dollars, again, is relatively the least part of it. It's more about abundance. I was telling yesterday, the other day, I woke up with the awareness that since my childhood, we've really been fighting crime. And so as a result, there's so much more of it than when I was a kid. I mean, the jails, they even had to let folks out early these days because they don't have room for them at all. And we've been fighting illness. And the result of that, I see hospitals and I see sick people and I just see, I've never seen such physical suffering in this nation percentage-wise in my lifetime as I do right today. In other words, we've been talking about peace and having a world peace, and it seems like only, frankly, weeks ago that everyone was raving of how, isn't it wonderful that the walls come down and we're finally in peace, and we didn't take four breaths till we're back in war again. I see so much concern for child abuse and mistreating of other people, and the more I see the concern, the more child abuse I see. And in other words,
it does not surprise you, does it?
Well, it seems like nothing's working. It seems like everything anybody's trying to do is not working, except
when you go about it backwards, that is what you create. In other words, give your attention to the tar baby and you get stuck in it.
But you'd think in a nation of like 200 million people or so, or more than that we have here, that somebody would have figured that out after all, like 200 years. And be a leader.
It seems logical.
Doesn't it? Okay, now where I was headed with that was, but the area where we seem to continue to go the other way is in the area of abundance. I see the United States as, to me, the most materially abundant country. I don't know of any anymore so at any rate. We have so much that we're able to give to the world over of food and of dollars. But in spite of that, and I see that as a difference from the time I was a child, I do see more material things in the hands of the people than during my early years, which was during the Depression. But nevertheless, there have been some major changes, positive there. But what I'm seeing in that area, and that's where I guess kind of I headline this, is I do see people, though, as they're moving forward to get the freedom that the dollars or the abundance will bring them, that so many people are losing their personal freedom in a trade-off for those dollars.
And are they getting the dollars?
Well, they seem to be. There seem to be a lot of dollars going on, one way or the other, either on welfare. I mean, I don't see anybody without dollars unless they just really choose to get away from it.
It has been our observation that those that are focused upon the lack
of anything are experiencing it rather profoundly in many areas of their life experience. In other words, those that are working very hard, who are wanting more dollars, but are working hard because they're focused upon the lack of them, they do not see the dollars like the air you breathe, that all you have to do is allow it into your experience. And so those that are working very hard usually are not gaining either the dollars or the freedom that they are seeking from it. In other words, their attention to the lack is sort of backfiring in all areas of their life experience. What is abundance? How would you define it?
I've got plenty of everything.
And so as you live in a universe that is abundant, that means all things abound. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
All things, all sides of all things,
good,
positive and negative, abounds.
Good.
Health abounds, illness abounds, prosperity abounds, poverty abounds. All of it abounds in this abundant universe where all things exist. And so as choosers or deciders or attractors, what do you do about it? Do you give your attention to the negative side of the abundance and attract that into your experience, or do you give your attention to the positive side of abundance? As you play your game of what if, do you say what if and point out the bleakest of consequences, or do you say what if and point out the most optimistic of consequences? You are the choosers regarding all of that, you see. What we are noticing regarding every topic of discussion is that as physical creatures, you get so involved in the peripheral details that are out on the edge, making so many decisions that have nothing to do with what is at the core of the attraction, you see. You are aware of the current or the electricity that surges through the walls. And when you are wanting to toast, you plug in a toaster. And when you are wanting to toast words, you plug in a recorder.
Right.
And in like manner, there is an energy that surges through the walls of your universe, and you're already plugged into it. And the way you utilize the energy is by contouring it with your thought. As you say, I seek good things. I want dollars to come to me in a very powerful and abundant fashion. And I will utilize it toward this end, and toward this end, and toward this end, and toward this end. You are taking that non-physical energy, and you are connecting yourself with that energy to that which you seek, so that that which you have identified must be yours. It is law. You cannot give your attention to something without it being your experience. It is law. Now, because you live in the universal or physical where there is buffer of time, sometimes it does not come fast enough, and then you get focused upon the fact that it is not there yet. Then you turn your attention to the lack of it. And as you say, where are the dollars that I seek? That is the way you sabotage your own creation. And we see it as a sort of deliberate thing. You would not call it deliberate because it is not what you want. But you deliberately say things such as, I can't afford that. That costs too much money. You deliberately say, I don't have enough money. You deliberately say, I cannot do that because it costs too much. And with all of those sorts of statements, what you're doing is reinforcing your belief that there is not enough, which is in absolute disharmony with the previous statement we made that the universe is abundant. Now, which way is it? Is it abundant or is it a void? Is everything there or is nothing there? Which is it? Shout it out.
It's all there.
It is all there. And so if it is there, there can be no lack of what you are wanting. Would you agree? The absence of something in your experience is not because it does not exist or because it is not to be yours. It is because you are choosing to look at lack. And the abundant universe always delivers unto you that which you give your attention to. And so if you don't have enough money in your experience, if you find that there are more things that you are wanting than you have dollars for, it is for one reason and one reason only. You have developed the pattern of looking at the lack side of the equation of abundance of dollars. You have chosen, by virtue of the example around you, or by the influence that comes across your television, or by the influence of those in your family or those that are closest to you, you have been influenced to decide, and you keep reaffirming the decision with those statements, there is not enough. Now, how much sense does that make to you in light of what we've just spoken? It makes no sense at all, does it? Let us hear from you. Let us get rolling here.
What's the difference between saying that you have a negative feeling about money and so you don't get money, and you're saying, I don't want cancer, but you do get cancer? I mean, what? I can't reconcile this in my mind right now.
Here is the way that it works, and we are understanding your dilemma, but this will be very clear. You get what you think about. And so, as you are thinking about the lack of health, you are getting it. As you are thinking about the lack of dollars, you are getting it. In other words, intellectually, it is very difficult, in fact, maybe impossible in some cases, to know the difference between focusing upon what you want or the lack of it. In other words, it's the same subject. But the way you feel as you are offering your thought is the way you know whether you are attracting the positive or the negative. When you're thinking about money and it feels very good, then you are in the mode of attracting that which you are wanting. But when you are thinking about money and it feels very bad, then you are in the mode of attracting the lack of it, you see. No one ever gets sick without feeling great amount of negative emotion. And none of you who want dollars will ever feel anything less than negative emotion when you are in the process of lack. Ask your question again. State it just as you stated it the first time if you are wanting. And let's see if we can unravel it together.
When I say I want money, but don't really believe it's going to come to me.
And so you're feeling disappointed or inadequate or right. Not smart enough or not in the right place, not lucky enough.
Yet, using my silver mind control, I go down to level. And they teach you to say, I don't want to get cancer. I don't want to get leukemia. I don't want to get this and that. And I really feel I'm not going to get it. But yet, what I'm interpreting here is that I shouldn't program myself this way by saying I don't want cancer.
We agree.
That word, right? What's the difference?
You see, the universe does not hear no. It does not hear you say yes, I want health, and no, I do not want illness. When you are saying no, I do not want illness, your attention to it is yes, come unto me. Anything you are giving your attention to is an invitation of it.
Even when I say, well, money, talking about money, as long as I'm concentrating on money, positive or negative, why shouldn't it come to me? Because I'm doing the same thing with health.
If you are, let us take the subject of money. You want some?
Sure.
And so the wanting is for the having of it, not for the having of the lack of it. Agreed?
Okay.
When you're thinking of money in the way that will make it come unto you, you always feel good. When you are thinking of money in the way that keeps it from coming unto you, you always feel bad. That is how you know the difference.
Right.
We believe that what you are saying, let us see if we can sort this out, for it is a very important point and worthy of a little attention here. In essence, what you are saying is, if I can get cancer, which by focusing upon lack of health, then why couldn't
I'm saying I don't want cancer.
Speak
can
loud.
Can I get cancer by saying I don't want cancer?
Indeed. That is the point that we are making as we are saying any attention to a subject. As you say, no, no, I do not want, no, no, please do not come unto me, no, no, this big bad thing, go away from me, stay away from me, you are attracting it unto you. And so, the same with the dollars. As you are saying, I'm wanting, you are saying that you could attract dollars as you attract cancer?
Yes.
In your offering, the receiving of dollars is the same as the receiving of health. The receiving of cancer is the same as the receiving of no dollars. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
All you have to do is make sure that whatever thought you're thinking or whatever word you're speaking evokes from you positive emotion. And then you're in the mode of attracting what you are wanting, you see. Anytime negative emotion is present, you are in the mode of attracting something that you do not want. It is nice to know, isn't it? What more? There is one in the back.
I think I know the answer to half of this question, but I can't reconcile the second half.
Can everyone hear her?
No.
Stand, if you will.
Okay. I have a friend who is recently no longer with her husband, and there has been a real big issue of money with her, where she's worked very hard and over the last 10 years or so has basically supported their situation. He hasn't made as much as she has. And I understand that from her perspective, a lot of her working very hard and taking care of him and this kind of thing, in terms of not totally, but spending, having made most of the money. And they'll go out to eat, and he will always say he doesn't have it when he does, and he's telling her he doesn't have money that he does, and all this kind of thing. But she loved him for so long and really didn't mind. Well, now they're split up, and he has just inherited like over $1 million, okay? And he's never shown really any inclination to want this money or whatever. I don't know if my question is clear.
What was the reason, do you think, was the dollars a major issue in their breaking apart?
I think it was an issue. I don't know that it was the major issue. And again, I'm hearing this third hand, but I think I was listening to her closely for a long period of time. And
you heard her speaking a great deal of the lack of dollars.
Yes.
And so does anything make sense then, that as he is able to attract dollars unto him, that he would hold them apart from her? In other words, isn't this not consistent with the way she has been approaching the subject of dollars all along?
It isn't even so much that he's holding them from her. It's that he has them now and she doesn't, because she's not going to get any of them unless he just gets generous. And it's more of the story that really isn't that pertinent here. But I understand.
Well, he is not going to offer them to her.
I understand.
By law, it is not logical at all.
Right. Well, I mean, in terms of, I understand what you're saying, but I understand the part where her concern over dollars and working very hard and why can't I have this and all that is keeping them from her. What I don't quite understand is how he hasn't really cared, and just from my
his pattern has not changed. The dollars have been flowing into his experience all along without any strain or struggle,
and they still are. Exactly right, and that's the part I guess I'm having the hard time with, because we talk about being examples for other people, right? So you want to look at an example of somebody who's drawing dollars into their experience, and I personally am not going to be able to just lie around and hope somebody takes care of me, and by golly, sure enough, they do, to the tune of even one day I get this lump sum of money. So
don't worry about it happening.
But I'm having a hard time reconciling his half of it. I can see with her, and I can see some of that in myself as well.
In other words, you do not think that he is worthy of his good fortune?
No, I'm not in a position to make that statement, not at all.
Then what is the statement you are making?
That's what I'm not sure of. I'm having difficulty dealing with the understanding of it, that's all. Because
we would say that even without wanting to put the words to it, you are having trouble understanding his worthiness of having all of this good fortune coming to him when he has not been struggling or striving, and therefore is not now deserving. You see, that is your story is perfect relative to this understanding of dollars, because the way that you are feeling and the way that you are describing is the very reason why more of you do not have more dollars flowing into your experience. Somebody has convinced you somewhere along your system of gathering beliefs that you must work very hard, and that it must be very painful, and that it must be a very big struggle in order for good things to come to you. And they lied. What they told you was the greatest lie of all, because it is not consistent with the laws of the universe. They say, be miserable and happy and struggle, and a good thing, or what you consider to be good, will come unto you. And we say, that will never be. And so here you have two people in your experience close enough that you can observe them. One struggling, one working really hard, one following the pattern that has been offered to her by society, by those that have gone before, and bad things keep happening. The money keeps getting away from her. She keeps ending up not in the place that she's wanting to be. And here is some lazy old slug that just lays around and says, oh, whatever will be, will be. Good things always come to me. I don't have to struggle or work or strain. Happy things come to me. The most important thing is that I am happy. And what drops into his lap is a great big chunk of what makes him happy. And you say, while it does go consistently with the laws of the universe, it's still not right. And what we say to you is, sooner or later, you are going to come to understand that the only thing that is right, the only thing that is absolutely consistent, are these laws of the universe. The law of attraction abounds and will forevermore, you see. And so your work is to get in sync with it. And the way you get in sync with it is by paying attention to the way you feel. And when you see someone having the good fortune of a lot of dollars coming into their experience, and you get that knife in your stomach that feels like jealousy, when you say, he is getting it without working hard while I am... That knife in your stomach is your inner being saying to you, there's a belief within you that is not in harmony with what you are wanting and not in harmony with the way things work. And then you are able to step back and begin looking for the positive aspects. Now, we would encourage you to try to make the correlation between what you are seeing in each of those cases and what they are living. In other words, let everything in the universe be an example to you of the way the laws of the universe work, you see. You are right, as you believe that you must work hard in order to deserve dollars. Dollars are not going to come to you in any other way. And if you want dollars, you're going to have to work hard. But if you are now willing to bridge that belief a little bit and recognize that dollars or abundance can flow into your experience anytime you open the door. Have you ever seen the flow of water? It is wanting to flow into the experience, and all you have to do is push a little dirt out of the way, and it will flow this way, and you push a little dirt out of the way, and it will flow that way. In other words, you are just opening doorways so that the natural flow can flow into your experience. Well, that is all that you are needing to do. Most of you are much closer to a financial fortune than you are even allowing yourself to hope for. Because in the belief that it might be there right away, you begin thinking of how disappointed you would be if it did not come in. And so you do not even allow yourself to want or to expect anything magnificent in terms of dollars. And that is the reason that for the most part you are living rather mediocre experience in terms of dollars. You are right when you think dollars are not everything, and they certainly are not. You do not need dollars to have joy in your experience. But in your society, what we have noticed about you is that you associate freedom and dollars. As you have dollars, you simply have more freedom. Your decisions are based more upon what you are wanting rather than what you are able to afford in the moment, you see. It is good. What more?
Abraham, from time to time, I feel very abundant. Just ever so often, I will do positive aspects and things till I feel a state of abundance, and then I'm going to set out to do something, which is kind of my pattern on things. And so I'll start out and say, okay, I have this abundance, so now I'll make the abundance go faster and better, and I'll just spend some of this. And I do pretty good for a little while, and then just get this big clutch, can't go another step further.
Is it because as you are spending it, you are seeing a decline of what you are wanting? In other words, as the prize in this case is dollars in your experience. And as you feel the dollars coming in, that feels good. But then as you feel the dollars going out, that doesn't feel so good. And that is the way that most of our physical friends are approaching all parts of life experience. Don't you see yourself as having so many years to live, and so each day that is expended is one day closer to the end? Or do you not receive your money in a clump and then you begin to see it diminish out of your checkbook or out of your pocket? In other words, that feeling of decline is very powerful and very strong in your physical experience. What we are wanting you to see is that there is no beginning or ending. In other words, as the dollars flow in and out and in and out and in and out for your glorious utilization as they are passing through, then you get a feeling of the abundance of it. In other words, you don't feel the negative of the decline because simultaneously you are knowing that more is coming in at the same time. You are following?
I am following. In fact, from what you're saying, at the time that I do the mental work in order to get the buildup of at least abundance in my mind, I am at the same time prepaving the decline, from what you're saying, as opposed to... What kind of exercise can I formulate to
let us give you some self-talk.
Okay.
When you wake up in the morning, none of you have the feeling that there is a scarcity of air. None of you stand out there on your porch in the morning breathing as much of it in as fast as you can so that you won't not have enough at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In other words, you have accept, you know, you have the belief that there is enough air for all of you for all of the day. And so you breathe it in and you let it out. You breathe it in and you let it out. It is just not something you worry about. And we would like you to approach dollars in the same way. They are there. All you have to do is allow them to flow into your experience, and there is no need to guard them. In other words, you don't have to hold it in and then hold your breath and not let it out, because there will not be any more coming. That is a very good approach to the beginning of the belief that the dollars are ever flowing. Again, what you are dealing with is too much memory. You are remembering the trauma of not having enough dollars, or the discomfort of being a little bit short of dollars, or you have heard others tell their scary stories, and so it is something that really concerns you. That is usually what is at the heart of any concern about dollar. If it would be a very wonderful thing if we could wave a magic wand, and in this moment all of you would be severed from everything in your physical experience. Again, you have just reemerged back into physical experience. You're just bigger than most babies. And so here you are sitting. You have no checking account. You have no savings account. You have nothing stored. You have no debt either, by the way. You are just here. And as you reemerge into this physical experience, you will begin now the attraction of whatever you are wanting, you see. Well, we know that if you were at that state where you had wiped the slate clean, so to speak, that right away you would go out and you would find some way of bringing dollars into your experience, or bringing that which you are wanting into your experience. We know that there would not be very much hesitation or concern about it. You would just go out and exchange who you are for some dollars. All of you having different things that you offer for your dollars. You are following? But what holds most of you back is this feeling that you must protect something that you have spent a long time gathering, because they have convinced you that it is a struggle. They have convinced you that it is hard to get anywhere, that you must work long and hard, and so you are forever trying to hold into your now everything that you have done to get you to now. You are trying so hard to protect your now by holding all of the things that have led unto this, that you are going in a sort of protected or paralyzed fashion forwards. You are just not bold enough or brave enough or happy enough or free enough to just let it flow. Instead, you are worried that somebody is going to take something, or you are worried that your marriage is going to break up and then you won't have as much stuff as you have, or you won't have the security. In other words, it is from a guarded position that most of you are thinking in terms of dollars into your future. We would begin by saying, I want to feel good. I want to feel productive and growing. I am wanting that which I am to be a basis for the attraction of all things that I consider to be good, which includes enough dollars for my comfort and joy, which includes health, which includes wonderful people around me that are stimulating and uplifting and exciting. And as you approach life, starting right now, with that sort of attitude, then you just easily, you get into the flow, and you just easily, doors just begin to open for you. You see, to get anywhere that you are wanting to go, we would like to go back to Jerry and Esther's room right now. And so we get up and we start walking. Well, there is a door, very easy to open, and there is a path, and there is another path, and there is another path. We cannot go directly to it without climbing over barricades and through trees and walking through walls and that sort of thing, which is very awkward through your physical experience. But it is not necessary that we take the direct route. For we are knowing that the path will always open before us. And so we will go as far as we can see, and then we will look around and see what else is there. And then we will go as far as we can see, and then we will look around and make our next decision, and then we will go as far as we can see. What trips you up is that you are all wanting to see too far. Furthermore, you are wanting to see it from your protected and guarded position. And so, from a position of lack, you are trying to do all of this positive creating, and it simply does not work. Now, the approach to get into the positive position is saying things like, only good things come to me. And while I do not have all of the answers, and I do not know all of the steps, and I have not even been able to identify all of the doors that will open, I know that when I get there, the path will be clear and obvious to me. I know I can figure it out as I go along. And when you get away from the guarded position and you really feel that you can figure anything out as you go along, then life becomes one of adventure. Then you are looking for the options, looking for the opportunities, just like you play your fantastic games. You look for the challenge, you look for the option, rather than guarding your path and dreading going around the next turn where you do not know where you are going. If you could forget what you have lived, the abundance would flow into your experience at a magnificent rate, knowing the other things that you have come to know. In other words, now that you are really understanding that you are a magnet attracting unto you, if you could sever yourselves from your past, dollars would flow into your experience at a rate that would be breathtaking unto you. And so that is really, if we were where you are sitting, most of you in this room, that is where we would give our predominant attention. We would go to sleep every night intending to forget any negative aspects regarding the subject of dollars that have ever been a part of your experience. When you walk into a room, having made that decision, where there is someone in the room that is bent on talking about not having enough dollars, you would feel a natural repulsion to that person. When you turn on your television and they are going to talk about the economy, which is going to bring you to an awareness that you are in some sort of vulnerable situation, you would absolutely feel a repulsion to that sort of thing. And instead, you would find yourself gravitating to those who are saying, isn't life wonderful? Look what happened to me. When you reach the place where someone can say, I just inherited $1 million, and you can say, oh, that is so wonderful, and really mean it, rather than saying, oh, that is really wonderful. Oh, I am so happy for you, you say, when inside what you are feeling is, you are not worthy of this money. I am the one that should have it. Then more dollars will be flowing into your experience, you see. You must feel good relative to the subject of money. Now, that is as simple as we can put it. Money must make you feel good in order to attract it into your experience. If the subject of money is making you feel bad, then you are resisting it. And the badder you feel, the more resistance you are offering. The gooder you feel, the more your doors are open. That is the reason that we've encouraged putting $100 in your pocket and acknowledging, you see, let us see if we can put it in to terms of the laws of the universe. Two probabilities blink out there. One of abundance of dollars and one of absence of dollars. Abundance feels good, absence feels bad. But both blink. Through your life experience, you've thought a lot about dollars, haven't you? Sometimes you're thinking about having them. Most times you're thinking about the lack of them. And so, for most of you, you have given more attention to the lack of them, and that is why your current experience is reflecting not as many dollars as you would really like to have. All you have to do is tip the balance ever so slightly, and the way you do that is by offering deliberate thought. Now, it doesn't matter how much thought you've thought before now, because all of your power is in your now. What you are now living is a result of what you have been thinking, but what you are about to live will be a combination of what you have thought and what you are now thinking. And what you are now thinking is 1 billion times more powerful than what you have been thinking, because all of your power is in your now. The entire universe is at your disposal. And so all you have to do is today, in this day, acknowledge how many things this $100 will buy. I could have that, I could have that, I could have that, I could have one-tenth of that. So that you begin tipping the balance of the scale within you regarding dollars, and soon you will begin to feel the feeling of prosperity. Practice spending your money.
That's where the problem is. I'm able to attract it. I put the billfold away. It's filling up nicely. I can't spend it. I won't let go of it. There is the block.
It is not a block. It is not a block. It is not a block.
I just discovered this.
It is not a block. Now hear this. You are gathering the dollars.
Yeah.
And they are feeling very good in the gathering. But when you are going to spend one, you feel negative emotion. Negative emotion is your inner being saying this action right now is not in harmony with your dominant intent. Therefore, your dominant intent must be the gathering of some dollars, you see. And your guidance system is simply saying the gathering right now is more satisfying than the expending. And so what you are doing right now is defining what your priorities are regarding the subject of dollars. And all that you are experiencing is the awareness that right now you are wanting to experience the gathering of some dollars rather than the having of the things that the dollars are buying. You are, if you will pay attention to the way that you feel, and anything that doesn't feel good, just don't do it, then you are in a very good position, you see. If, on the other hand, the spending of the dollars makes you feel very good, And you can define it. We were watching Jerry and Esther, for there are dollars that have been set into motion long ago that are still flowing into their experience. And so Jerry has been wanting a little trailer so that he can carry things around from one place to another. And so he has been looking here and looking there and looking there. Upon finding the trailer, there was absolute exuberance in spending the dollars for the trailer, which means that that trailer is absolutely in harmony with the intentions that are there. On the other hand, as he sees other things, and there are many things, it is not that he does not have the dollars to buy them, it is that he does not have the desire that is more powerful than the holding of the dollars. Are you understanding what we are saying? From a position of not having enough dollars, you think you want everything. That is the game you play with yourself. You think you want all of those things, when the reality of it is, if you had the dollars in your pocket, then you would discover how few of those things you really want. For what you are wanting is not the having. What you are wanting is the experience of being. If you will reach the place that you are feeling good, there it is again, that same old statement. The dollars, in the perfect flow, will flow into your experience. Do not let others set standards about how much money you should have or about what you should do it with. You are the only one who could ever accurately define that sort of thing. You are complete?
Pretty much so. I really believe I'm dealing here not at all with dollars. I think I'm dealing with safety and security or something else entirely, and the lack of that. But what you say, I am complete with the money and dollar situation. Yes.
Trust that your guidance is guiding you right into the place that you're wanting. Many of you do not understand. You have a list of intentions within you, a sort of priority list of things that you want, and some things you want more than others. Someone said to us recently, "Abraham, I would really like this friend that is very important to me to have a greater interest in who I am and what I think and what I'm doing." 2 weeks later, this same woman said to us, "Abraham, I have a friend that's probing very deeply. She is asking very intimate questions. What is the reason that she is probing and asking all of these intimate questions?" And we said, "You forget what you want. You identify the things you want, and then a week later you have forgotten that you have identified them, while the universe is still delivering unto you that which you started into motion last week, you see." And so being in a place of security is a very powerful intention of yours, and it is stimulated continually as you are moving through the experience. And life experience has brought you to the belief that having extra dollars tucked away is a measure of security. And so as the dollars are coming in, as you are... You must find a priority that is greater than your desire for security before the spending of those dollars will feel pleasurable. Or you must reach the place of understanding that the dollars will always flow, that you are always in that place of security. And that is really what this is about for you.
Abraham, I have an old metaphysical teacher that taught us not to put dollars away for security, because if you are planning for a disaster, something that would take your dollars away,
we agree.
For that,
as you are focused upon lack, you will attract lack.
So,
but if you are wanting security and you gather dollars and it brings you a positive feeling, then you are approaching the subject from what you are wanting, not from the lack of it. Do you see the difference? Anything that feels good to you is in harmony with what you want. Anything that feels bad to you is not in harmony with what you want. It is truly as simple as that. There are those that teach that you shouldn't want money at all. They would tell you that it is not the spiritual path, that it is too materialistic. And we say your body is pretty materialistic, about as materialistic as it gets. And as you are here in a physical society, you are wanting the attraction of physical stuff around you. Otherwise, you would not have brought your physical body along. When you have a physical body, you really want a physical roof. And yes, that is materialistic. When you have a physical body, you really want physical materialistic covering. And yes, that is materialistic. And that is the physicalness of this environment, you see. All you have to do is stay focused upon what you are wanting.
I just had a little shift that most people, when they think about saving, they save it in case there'll be a crisis, and then they create lack. But you can create the same amount for security with the intention of, well, if I'll feel like going to Tokyo tomorrow, I can do that. So to have a nest egg, not for crisis,
good.
But a nest
that's
egg for
good.
Options.
I'm wanting the dollars because I see the dollars synonymous with freedom. Mm-hmm. I'm wanting the mobility to make decisions about what I'm wanting and having the dollars there to support my physical flow or travel or whatever. And that is a very powerful approach to dollars. As we would like you to participate in a little exercise with us here. Speak the first thing that comes to your mind, speak it right out loud, and speak it loud. Do not try to contemplate too much because we are wanting your first response, which is always your most accurate response. Do you have as much money in your life experience as you want right now, yes or no?
No.
Honesty abounds. The universe is abundant with dollars, yes or no?
Yes.
You have the option to have dollars or have lack of them, yes or no?
Yes.
It is a decision that you made before your birth, or it is a decision that you are making segment by segment, statement by statement, yes or no?
Statement.
Your current financial position is your lot for life forever, or it is something that is changing by the moment? In other words, you are in absolute control of your financial position, yes or no?
Yes.
Do you want more dollars?
Yes.
Are they absolutely guaranteed under these conditions?
Yes.
And so all you have to do is make the decision more often. I am creator of my experience, and I currently choose dollars. And anyone who criticizes that, so what? They don't know what they're talking about anyway. Anyone that thinks that dollars are not a good thing can live very happily without them. That is up to them. But as I am associating dollars with freedom, I choose to attract them into my experience by giving my attention to what? The dollars or to the lack of them? When I'm sitting at my desk paying my bills and I realize that I have more bills than I pay have dollars, and I feel that great negative feeling in my stomach, what am I doing? Pushing dollars away or attracting them to me? The more I struggle in this position of not having enough dollars, am I engulfed in the tar baby or am I letting the tar baby go? You are engulfed in the tar baby. And so the process of pivoting is always in order when you have negative emotion, agreed? When I have negative emotion, when I'm writing my bills and there are not enough money, what is the best thing to do? Sit there and struggle and cry and fret, or should I walk away from it until I get feeling better? As I walk away from it and I get feeling better and then I come back to it, what is the attitude that is best? Should I say, the dollars are coming, or the dollars are not here? As I'm walking through the day and I see something beautiful in the shop window that is glistening and gold and very expensive, should I lament the fact that I cannot afford it, or shall I admire its beauty as it stands?
Admire.
Do I acknowledge it as lack in my life, or can I experience it as I stand and look at it? Is possessing it more important, or is seeing it possessing it?
Seeing it.
And so as I admire it, am I not now coming into the harmony of attracting more of that into my experience? Oh, you are very wise beings. You are understanding all of this. Now, what is the time?
30 seconds.
Is there abundance in the universe?
Yes.
Abundance of all things?
Yes.
Does that include dollars?
Yes.
Does that include lack of dollars?
Yes.
What do you choose?
Dollars.
So be it. We are complete.
Thank you.
Is it time to shop?
Yeah.